Welcome to the Live Limitless podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Gigi Meyer, and we're going to be having a lot of conversations with experts in fitness, nutrition, lifestyle, in general health, but also in things like relationships, family, faith, business, sports, you name it. And we really just want this to be a space where you can learn how to break through all the things holding you back from living to your true potential one by one. It's time to live limitless. Let's dive in. What's up, everyone? Welcome back. Thanks so much for being here. Hopefully you've had the chance to listen to the most recent podcast that I recorded with Garrett Miller, who is from the MTV show Siesta Key. It was really cool to just sit down with him and hear about his experiences a little bit. He's a really cool guy, and he's marrying Kenna, who's really awesome as well. We crashed their Costa Rica trip back in, I think, August. I think it was. It was so funny. It was actually like, we literally went to lunch and then they were like, oh, we're going to Costa Rica in a couple of weeks. You guys should come. And normally Brian and I are like, oh man, that's like so last minute. But something just went off in our heads. We're like, YOLO. And I think it's because like we legit knew that I would probably get pregnant soon and that we might start a family soon. And so, and yeah, obviously we didn't have Drew at the time either. Drew was being born. And so we're like, yeah, life's actually going to change a lot. And by the way, if you can hear like chewing in the background, I don't know if you guys can hear that, but that's Drew. He's sitting right next to me chewing on one of his bully sticks down there. Yeah, we're in between nap times. So he had to come in here and sit with me. But anyways, yeah, they were like, come with us. And we got this really awesome Airbnb. They showed us the Airbnb. I was like, let's do it. Like, never been to Costa Rica. We actually haven't been overseas. Technically, we haven't been out of the country in a while, so YOLO, right? Come to find out, like within the next week, my passport is expired. So here's, take this, heed this advice, okay? If your passport is about to expire, renew it. If it's about to expire within the next year, renew it, because the process of renewing a passport is a pain in the rear if you wait too long, right? So know this, that if your passport expires within, I think, 3 to 6 months of your trip, right? So my passport expired a month after my trip to Costa Rica, and they weren't going to take it because it's supposed to not expire within 6 months of your trip. Don't ask me why. I have no idea why. I don't understand what the point of an expiration date is at that point. Then, because if it expires before or after, anyways, if your passport is going to expire in the next year, renew it right now. Even if you don't know you're going to be traveling anytime soon, because here's what happened. My passport was going to expire a month after our Costa Rica trip, but it needed to be eligible for 6 months after the trip. Otherwise, I wasn't going to be able to go into Costa Rica or back into the States, I don't think, whatever. And so, you know, there's an expedite process, right? Like if you renew your passport, I think it takes like a few months, I think. I can't remember. But if you expedite it, it still takes like 7 to 8 weeks or something, like 10 weeks. And so I was like, well, we're traveling here in 2 weeks. What are my options? And I basically, you have to go to a passport agency and they only have like one in each state. And I don't even know if they have one in each state. Like there's only a handful of passport agencies throughout the United States. And so the closest one to me was Miami, which is about a 3.5 hour drive. And so I had to commit to a full day where I took off work. I put aside all my other responsibilities, drove down to Miami, sat in line. The process was not efficient at all. It was, you know, I could complain about all day, but it took me all day to get a passport. And they, you know, if you do it that way, they can give it to you within a couple of hours. And that was my only option. So I did that. And since then I've had a handful of people reach out to me like, oh my gosh, I need a passport. Like within the next couple of days, what I do, I'm like, you gotta go to a passport agency. And so people are driving and flying places to get a passport. It's insane. So anyways, totally already I went off the tangent, but yeah, the Costa Rica trip was so fun. It was like me and Brian's last like hoorah as like a, you know, younger married couple without any kids yet. And we got to know Garrett and Kenna really well, and they're awesome people. So they're getting married here in the next month, which is insane. And we're going to be going. Fingers crossed I don't go into labor before or during. I'm really hoping baby G you know, stays in there cooking for as long as she needs. But I don't know. I do have a weird feeling though. I do have a weird feeling that she is going to come early. And it's just because the amount of like pressure and the amount of, you know, I'm having contractions. I'm struggling a little bit physically and she's moving so much. And it's just, I don't know. It just, and if that's a, like, if, you know, if you're a mom who's been pregnant before and you're like, Gigi, that's just pregnancy, then so be it. But I don't know. I don't know. So anyways, I would like for her to make it all the way to April because my birthday is March 26th and I want her to have her own birthday month. So maybe if she's even born in February, isn't that crazy? It's February 3rd right now, 2nd. Crazy to think about. Obviously that would be early for her, but anyways, if she can make it to April, that would be cool. Cause I do want her to have her own birthday month. But yeah, I mean, I kind of going into that, like, let's just do a little bit of a bump date, right? Called a bump date, like a bump, baby bump update. And, here's, you know, there's a few lessons that I've learned at this stage of pregnancy. I'm 31 weeks now, right? I got a big belly. The belly's big. I know it's going to get bigger. But as you all, if you've been following along with me, up until this point, from week eight, the nausea hit hard, right? So from week 8 to week 16 was pretty miserable. Felt like I was hungover every single day. I had zero appetite. I had morning sickness 24/7. Didn't actually get sick, like, except for one time, but it felt like I needed to vomit every day, all day. And so that was miserable. So yeah, I mean, if the best way to explain it is like you're hungover, except you're sleeping 10 hours a night and at least 10 hours a night and you're not drinking alcohol. And so you still wake up with a hangover. Not super fun. And then, you know, I would try and work too. And the brain fog and the just looking at my computer, like my brain just wasn't working. I would get sick after like working for like 30 minutes and I have to like lay down, take a nap and just breathe it out. So it was like, it was a constant distraction. So a lot of things took the back burner, obviously my fitness, obviously my responsibilities with the business. I kind of just did what I could and it was full on survival mode for about 8 weeks. So that lasted from like week 8 to week 16. And week 16 was when the nausea started to go away. But that was when I kind of like, and I talked about this on another podcast, like I had like the mental struggles, right? So that kind of took a toll on me. But even at the same time, like even during that, I've never really had a good handful of weeks or time or whatever of being back to normal where I could like go work out again. I could eat normal again. You know, I know in some other people's experiences that after the first trimester, they're like, they feel so good. They feel so energetic. It's almost like euphoric for them where they're like, oh my gosh, thank God I'm through that. And then second trimester is like decent. And then third trimester is when you like start to get uncomfortable because you're just big, right? But even the second trimester, my appetite never came back. My appetite was still just so wonky. And then every time I would try to work out, you know, the contractions came and there would be so much pressure in my abdomen, in my bump, that I just didn't feel good about it. Like, it just didn't feel good. I was like, this isn't comfortable. I'm cramping. I don't know if it's good for baby G. And I mean, it was just with the slightest things too. And so it got to a point where I was like, I obviously had to tell a doctor and he told me, he was like, all right, if you're having more than 4 contractions in an hour and you're having more than 12 contractions in a day, then that's when we need to be a bit concerned. And I'm telling you, like, it was far beyond that. Like, I was probably, there was one point where I counted, I was like, it was 8 contractions within 20 minutes. And it feels like constantly throughout the day. And so, you know, come to find out, like, I had a contraction while I was in there one day and he was like, okay, so this is a contraction, but it's not, I guess, the scary contraction. Like, it's just your body responding to her movement and she's moving 24/7. And so that's kind of like, I think that gave me some peace of mind too, but because she's moving so much and if I'm moving so much, then it's kind of like I have to, because she moves so much, I can't control how much she moves that I have to dial back. And so from, you know, from even the second trimester, I haven't been able to, you know, I worked out like once a week and that was sometimes often too much. So kind of got to the point with the past 3 weeks, kind of just let it go. My activity is taking Drew on walks, getting up and out of bed, you know, doing normal household tasks and chores. And sometimes that's just a bit much, like playing fetch with Drew. Like I'm trying, like, so, you know, and I can't help but get a little frustrated because I see people like Tia Claire, right? She's, I don't know how far along she is, but I see people who are pregnant and are as far along as I am. And they're like in the gym 3, 4, 5 times a week lifting. You know, I know a handful of people that have lifted throughout their, up until their due date. And so I'm like, yeah, like that would be great if I could do that. Cause then it's like, I would have at least maintained some level of my fitness. but obviously like baby G, it is what it is. And so I've kind of just had to accept that it's out of my control. But the good thing about that is what I've realized is it's not necessarily about what you're doing during pregnancy that's going to dictate like your postpartum or your shape during pregnancy. It's what you do before. It's like 95% what you do before. And luckily, you know, I was in the best shape of my life before pregnancy that I've had a few years of consistency and just strength training and just good eating and doing the, you know, learning what I need to learn. I've had a few years of that under my belt, that I've accumulated that it's allowed me to have more freedom, more flexibility. And I've been able to afford taking a step back. Like I look in the mirror and I'm okay. Like I'm okay with the way I look. I got a big old belly and I got curves on other places of my body. My butt is a little bit softer than normal. Like my muscles aren't as big, obviously, but those will come back fast. That will be a fast bounce back. It's much harder to build muscle than to like rebuild muscle. And so that's why I'm not really worried about it at all. I'm not worried about it at all. And I know that when baby G comes and it's postpartum time, postpartum bounce back, like that's going to be my full focus. Like I'm going to get my body back because I need it to be back. I need it to be back. And you know what? I was shocked. That being said, you know, I was shocked at the amount of people. And I think I expressed this on Drew's making so much noise. Come on, Drew. Have some respect. Anyways, I had mentioned that on a story or a post recently where I was like, look, it's a full body sacrifice right now for baby G. Like she needs me to stop everything right now. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to let her have what she needs from my body, for the time being. But as soon as my body's mine again, yeah, I want to breastfeed. Yeah. I have to give her the energy and the time that she needs from me and to feed her and to do all those things. Yeah, I get it. But as soon as my body is mine again, I am going to get it back. I'm going to get it back. And I was shocked at the amount of people that were like, you need to have realistic expectations. You need to understand that's probably going to be a while. You know, it's still sad. And I'm like, yeah, I get it 100%. Like there is so much truth to that. But also don't rain on my parade a little bit. Like I appreciate you looking out for me, but I understand what it takes to be fit, you know? And I know 100% I can do it because I've seen it happen. We've had many postpartum girls come into our program and absolutely crush it. They get back to their like peak shape while maintaining supply, while feeding their baby. Everyone's happy. It's a win-win. I've seen it many, many times. It's 100% possible. And I know it's 100% possible for me. I know it's not going to be easy. I know that, you know, and I'm fully prepared. I'm keeping like a completely open mind. You know, I have some time bound goals where I'm like, okay, I want to get back to myself by this time. I understand there's going to be elements that are out of my control, but the second my body is mine again, I'm very much so going to start making an effort towards getting my body back to normal again. It might be slow. It might be a much slower progression than I anticipated. It might take longer than I anticipated. There might be, you know, I might have to really take some time to restore my abs because I haven't used my abs in 7 months. And so That's scary. I can feel them split, right? There is, but that's part of the process. That's part of the process. That's part of the protocol. But what I'm not going to do is let baby G be an excuse to keep myself from doing what I want to do. You know, I'm not going to let it be an excuse, because there is a difference. There's a huge difference between, you know, giving yourself grace and being realistic. And there's a huge difference between that, but actually like straight up excuses. And that's what I'm not going to allow myself to do. And I had a handful of people reach out to me, you know, and say, you know, just that it's been 2 years for them and they still haven't, you know, made any progress towards their goals. And I'm like, okay, 2 years, that's a long time. I understand. I get it. Look, I really get it. But at what point is it really an excuse? You know what I mean? And so I don't want that to rub anybody the wrong way. You know, I, if anything, I want it to kind of hopefully give you some awareness or give you a little bit of like a, she's right. Like it really is. I really am just using it as an excuse right now. And Brian's, you know, been talking about this too, like the dad bod, right? Everyone's like, oh wait, you're going to get a dad bod. But no, does he really have to? Like, does that have to happen? No, it does not have to happen. A mom bod, you know, after having the baby, that doesn't have to happen. You can get back to yourself. You can. It's a matter of making it a priority, being smart about it, doing the right things, and being patient too. Like, you got to be patient, having realistic expectations, but making an effort. That's it. So sometimes we just use excuses that hold us back from even making any type of effort. And to me, that's not acceptable. That's not what I'm going to allow myself to do. And so that's kind of my point there. Right. And, but like I said, I have no idea what it's going to look like. I'm going into this fully with an open mind. And you know what, if I get there and it's like, this is literally impossible, I will come on here and I will say, I stand corrected. But if I freaking knock this out of the park, there's no reason why nobody else can either. So that's what I'm excited to see. I'm excited to hopefully prove some people wrong. I'm excited to hopefully, you know, experience this myself so that I can be that type of hope to people who are like, it is impossible. No, it's not. It's very possible. Look, I did it and I know exactly how to do it. And I can show you how to do it. And then it's just a matter of you trusting me and letting me show you how to do it. Right. And so that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited for the challenge. I'm excited to help more people. I'm excited to get myself back and to, and finally have this as a part of my story so I can help more people. So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. But anyways, yeah, I mean, as far as like the postpartum process goes, I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the challenge. I'm excited to get a taste of what it is and have that experience myself, because it's a real thing. And I want to be able to help people do it successfully in their own way as well. But I mean, I have gotten a taste of what it's not postpartum recovery, but just the, you know, the transition of like having my life in complete control of what I have all the time in the world to do what I want. And then the next minute, like you have another life depending on you. Right. And so you have to prioritize that life now. I've gotten a little taste of that with Drew, like, you know, bringing, Drew home and he needs me, he depends on me. And so I've had to make a lot of adjustments in my schedule. I've had to, you know, just be much better about managing my time, being much more proactive and prioritize and just much more intentional in those areas. And, you know, being a collegiate athlete and owning my own business, I really thought my time management skills were like impeccable and peak. You know, I was great at it and I was. But when you have another life depending on you, like it has to be taken to a whole nother level. And so I am anticipating that to change a lot when baby G gets here, but I know that time management is going to be one of the things that I'm going to really have to dial in on and just get really good at. And I think at the end of the day, like that, once you kind of get that down, time management one, and two, you just know what your priorities are. You know what you need to spend your time and energy doing, and just be okay with doing those things. And the rest of the stuff, like, will get done when it gets done. I used to be someone that was like so anxious at the fact that like I only accomplished, I don't know, like we all have a million things to do. And I used to get so much anxiety because I felt like I was never getting any of the other stuff done, you know? But then I eventually just got to a point where I was like, it's going to get done when it gets done. Like, there's only so much I can do, but what I can do is get clarity on what matters most, get the things done that are actually going to move the needle in my life with whatever goals I'm trying to achieve with GFIT, with my fitness, with my marriage, with my family, whatever it is. If I get caught up, you know, doing all the other things that just really don't matter that much at the end of the day, and it's just, I'm just doing it for the sake of it to get done, then I'm not going to make the type of progress that I want. And so it really is just the whole clarity aspect, like knowing what matters most, what needs to get done, what's top priority. And then just doing that and then making adjustments along the way. Like you just got to be okay with making adjustments. And so, yeah, I'm sitting here talking like I know everything. I know to an extent that, you know, time management is going to be really important. Prioritizing is going to be really important, and just grind mode for a little bit. It is what it is. And I'm just fully ready for it. But thankfully I've had Drew kind of put me in positions to where I've had to grow in those areas. And so, I'm not going to say I'm fully prepared to be a new mom yet, but I know I'll be able to figure it out. I know I will. But you know, a big reason why I'm so passionate about this though, is because I think this goes for just in general. I think this is a problem in general. People have things that happen in their life, right? They get an injury, they get a new job, they're working, you know, so much. Like there's always going to be a reason why going to the gym or eating right, or there's always going to be a reason why it can't be top priority unless you absolutely make it a top priority. it really is just that simple. And so that's kind of like I said, I was just shocked at the amount of people that were like, yeah, it's probably not going to happen. Just know that, like, just be realistic with yourself. What if you just said, you got this? Like, are you kidding me? Like, you got this, you can do this. What if we like just believed that it could happen? I'm telling you, like, I believe in the power of belief so much that obviously if you believe it won't happen, if you believe you can't do it, you won't do it. It won't happen. But if you believe you can do it, you are much more likely to be able to do it. And so, you know, I'm going to back myself up with the belief that I can do it and that it can be done. One, because I've seen it done. And two, I know what I need to do. it's just going to be a matter of making it work and just learning as I go. But it was just like, that's the problem. You know, if you got goals in your life, you're working towards things in your life and you got these people in your ear saying like, you can't do this. It's too hard. Or making you feel silly. Like, why is this a goal of yours? You look great already. Like, you're fine where you're at. You got people saying this to you, obviously it is going to influence you a little bit. And so I think that's something I've gotten very intentional with personally is just being very cautious of advice, of what I'm hearing people say to me or say about me or whatever. It's just like, it's just noise to an extent, even if it's positive things, like people say good things about me. I'm very cautious of how I retain it, how I articulate it. And then obviously negative things that people say about me, I'm very cautious about how I retain it and articulate it. The advice that I get from mentors or people that I look up to or people on social media, I'm very cautious of how I articulate it, because I want to make sure it is serving me. It is actually serving me And if it's something that is like that, where it's like postpartum's extremely hard, I get it. But if you're trying to tell me that it can't be done, I'm not going to allow that into my subconscious. I'm just not. I'm going to reject that. And I'm going to find out for myself. You know what? That's how it's going to be. I'm going to find out for myself, but I'm not going to let you tell me that it can't be done. I'll find out for myself. You know what I mean? And I just want to encourage everyone to maybe go about that. Go about the ways that you perceive things that way. Right. And just be extra cautious on who you let influence you, what type of advice you're receiving, and just do the things that you want to do. Like, if people are telling you some way, like something has to be done a certain way, right? It doesn't. It doesn't. Why don't you find out for yourself? And so, anyways, that's kind of just where I'm at with that. But here's why I'm so passionate about that is because I'm third trimester, right? I'm about 20 pounds up, probably like 22 pounds up now. I got a belly. This is the closest I've ever felt to being fat and out of shape. Straight up. This is the closest I've ever been. It felt fat and out of shape. Thankfully, my entire life I've been an athlete. Thankfully, I was raised in a family that just like fully prioritized just a healthy lifestyle and eating well and all of that. Yeah, I did go through a part of my story is like my transition from being an athlete to just being a corporate, desk worker. I lost a little bit of my identity. I lost a bit of my fitness, but I never let myself go to the point where I was like, oh man, I just gained like 40, 50 pounds, So thankfully, but this is the closest I've ever felt where I'm like, oh, this is what it's like. Ugh, like, ouch, And it's so crazy because I've been able to, just because of what I've experienced being 20 pounds up, having a belly, not being able to work out, being way less fit than I was 6 months ago, 7 months ago, that I've gotten to a point where I've fully and certain that I will never let myself get to that point, like voluntarily. I won't. And it's only because the inconvenience of being unfit is way more inconvenient than the inconvenience of being fit. Like being in my opinion, being out of shape is much harder than being in shape, in my opinion. And so that being said, like every decision we make the decision that we believe is going to best serve us. And sometimes we make decisions that are going to best serve us in that moment, but not long-term. And so, that's why we get stuck doing things like, partying or eating, three slices of cake or, eating the whole sleeve of Oreos or doing things that are like, man, this is so great. I love this. It feels good. But then it's like something that you immediately regret after, or if that behavior is something that you repetitively do over the course of time, like it's going to hurt you to an extent, like smoking cigarettes or just, those types of behaviors of self-sabotage. We make those decisions because it serves us in the moment and it feels great for us in the moment, but we're sacrificing how it's going to serve us later on for what it does for us in the moment. Right. And so all that being said, like how we make decisions is based on that. Are we making a decision where we're going to be instantly gratified? Or are we making a decision that might delay gratification a little bit, but later on give us so much gratification. We just have to be patient. Right. And so my decision, right, is that being fit and doing what I need to do to be fit, to eat a certain way, to grocery shop a certain way, and make sure there's, a specific type of food in my home and the style of eating, right, as well as making it a priority to get to the gym X amount of times a week or to get up and take breaks in between working or to get up early and read scripture or like the things that don't necessarily, I'm like, oh, in the moment, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. You know, but it is leading to long-term gain. Long-term gain. I'd much rather do those things than what gives me short-term gain. That's an agreement that I have come to in my life. And it's been good to kind of go through this process. And I know like being pregnant is much different than being like, you know, just out of shape. But it, like I said, it is kind of the closest thing that I've been able to experience being out of shape, that I've been able to learn that I will pick being fit over being out of shape for the rest of my life. And I will pick doing the things that I need to do to stay fit and in shape, because being out of shape is much harder. and so I'm hoping that, you know, that speaks to some people that listen to this, because it's like, gosh, the income, you know, I have to make a change. I want to get fit. I want to lose weight. I want to XYZ. I want to achieve these goals that you've probably been working on for a while now. But it's like, this is what it's going to take. I have to change my schedule. I have to change that. I understand that is completely overwhelming. And you know what? In the moment, it's not going to be super satisfying in the moment. But man, the return of that is incredible. And I 100% like think 100% of every single person that really does just do it, like just do what they need to do to get in shape or reach a point where they love it so much that they'll never let themselves go back. That's if you're doing it the right way. So there's many ways to do it. There's many wrong ways to do it, to lose weight. And those ways are miserable. Starving yourself, cutting carbs, you know, eating within windows, you know, not eating dessert, doing cardio 2 hours a day. Like those things are miserable to an extent. But the truth is, based on your goals, some of those things aren't necessary. And that's what I've learned in my journey is I was doing so many things that were miserable that were not necessary. And I learned what is necessary. Like what does it take to look the way I want and to feel the way I want. I know exactly what that looks like. And I know how to do it the right way. And the right way is much more enjoyable. It's much more sustainable. And it serves me day to day and long term. And so if you're someone who hasn't figured that out yet, so when you do figure that out, the thing is like you're not going to be perfect, right? You're going to go on vacation. You're going to have a couple of days off. You're going to get pregnant and take 6, 7, 8 months off, 9 months off. But if you are doing it the right way, one, you know exactly what you need to do to get back to it. And two, you miss it so much that you will always find your way back. You will always find your way back. And that's something that I've heard many people who go through our program say is like, man, I fell off track, but I can't wait to get back to it. I can't wait to get back on it. Like I know how great it makes me feel. I'm so addicted to that feeling that I won't ever get to a point where I let that go forever. It will might temporarily, like we might have some slow months or a couple weeks where it's like, man, I am just taking L after L after L, but I will always find my way back. And that's all that matters. But if you're on the flip side where it's like, I'm doing a 2-week diet and I'm cutting carbs, I'm doing whole 30, you know, 30 days, and you can't wait till it's over. There's a problem there. Now, context matters. What's your goal? If you're just wanting to lose a few pounds and you don't really care how it's done, do it the rough way. Do it like because you'll do it much quicker and whatever. but if you want to do it like the healthy, sustainable, and you know, not have that rebound effect, and you actually want to feel good while you do it, and you want to reap the reward of just being healthier and more energetic and all those things. More than, you know, getting the reward of more than just losing a few pounds, because you can lose a few pounds. It's miserable if you do it. Just cut your calories. Like I'll tell you right now how to lose 10 pounds in like a week. Cut your calories to 1,000 calories a day. Stop drinking water. Hit 15,000 steps a day. And then, and do like cardio. Do like an hour of cardio every day. And I bet you'll lose 10 pounds. Go do it. And come back to me. You'll be miserable. So there's right ways and wrong ways to do it. But if you're doing it the right way, it's one of those things that will literally stick with you for the rest of your life, where if you get off track, like, you cannot wait to get back to it. You'll always find your way back. And that's the power of, you know, that's how long-term sustainable results come, is something that you are able to do for the rest of your life that serves you in the best way possible, mentally, physically, all the areas. Right. And I'm just going to finish it on this, right? Is I've been doing a lot of, like, just internal work the past couple of months. I've gotten to a point where I'm like, man, you know, GFIT is doing great. My team's doing great. We've helped a lot of people. But I've gotten different advice as a business owner from different business coaches, business mentors, mindset coaches. And sometimes we kind of get off track of what we're about, right? Like, what we're authentically about. And I feel like I've kind of veered away from portraying the message that I want to portray. And it's been for the sake of being more likable. Like, I think I've been approaching the way I'm, you know, portraying my message as a fitness pro, as a business owner, as a, you know, just a person on social media that people like to follow. I think I've gotten to a place where I'm like, I'm choosing to be more likable than, like, more effective. And so, like I said, with that being said, and this sounds like I'm totally going off topic here, but hopefully we'll bring it full circle here in a couple minutes towards the end. But I realized that if I'm just trying to be likable, I'm not helping anybody, right? Because one, it's impossible to be likable by any person. I mean, for example, like Tim Tebow, how does anyone hate him? But there are people that hate him. It's wild. He's like one of the most perfect people ever. And in person, like, knowing him as a person, he is, how he comes off, you know, on TV and social media, that is who he is. Like, he is straight up just, you know, he does what he does, and it's his most authentic self. And it's amazing. But people still hate him, and it blows my mind, because he's one of the best humans ever. And so if the goal is to be likable, by everybody, it's not possible. And so with that being said, like, if you're trying to be likable, you're not really sharing the truth as much, and you're not sharing your truth as much, and you're not being as authentic as you should be to, one, appeal to the people that, like, that are going to vibe with you. Appeal to the people that you roll with, that you vibe well with, and that you can actually help. And to an extent, repel the people that you don't vibe with, that you don't roll with, that you can't help. And I'm realizing that I can't help everybody. I'm realizing that I can only help people that want to be helped, and want to be helped the right way, in the real way. And so that's a challenge that I'm going to take upon myself. Why does that not sound right? The challenge I'm going to put on myself is to speak my truth. And you know what? And if it pisses a couple people off, it is what it is. But hopefully it speaks to more people, and it helps more people that way. And so going into this episode, I kind of just had that in my mind. I'm like, look, I might rub some people the wrong way talking about postpartum and how I think I'm able to accomplish the goals that I want, but it might rub some people the wrong way who didn't accomplish the goals that they want. You know, calling people out and their excuses might rub some people out a little bit. Talking about how I choose to be fit rather than fat might rub some people the wrong way, but it is what it is. Like, that's my truth. And that's what I'm going to start talking about going forward. I posted something recently about how ridiculous I think it is, the Manjaro shot or whatever people are doing. Now, hear me out. If you have type 2 diabetes and you need that shot, like, by all means, like, the doctor, you know, is telling you, and you survive without it. But if you're just losing it or if you're just doing it for the sake of losing weight, I can't roll with that. I don't understand that. I can't relate to that. And I think it's quite ridiculous because of the, you know, just the whole thing. And I'm going to save that for another, but whatever. I'm going to speak about that. Like, that's going to be my truth that I'm going to talk about and share. And you know what? It might piss a few people off, but I'm all about helping the people that want to be helped, that I can help. And I think that comes from speaking my message authentically and doing it in a way that's real and right to me, as opposed to, you know what? No, I don't want to talk about that, because I really want people to like me. Obviously, I want people to like me. Obviously, with every message that I portray, with everything that I do, I promise I do it with great intention. But to an extent, like, you have to be okay with repelling people, and you have to be okay with striking a few nerves in people. But hopefully, if it does strike a nerve, hopefully it does it in a way that, you know, triggers you into action and making a change and actually doing what you need to do to accomplish the goals that you want, other than, like, you know, done, unfollow, canceled, you know, I'm never listening to Gigi ever again. If that's how you respond, like, that's out of my control. It is what it is, but we'll see. Yeah. So that's kind of like a revelation, or just something that's just been on my heart and on my mind lately, the past couple of months, where I'm like, man, I think I'm kind of veering away from what my true authentic self is when I'm portraying my message on social media, on podcasts, on anything that I'm doing. And I'm going to go back to that. I'm not going to be so concerned about being likable. I want to be more effective, and I think that's what it's going to take. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. We kind of bounced around a little bit, gave you a quick little bump date. I gave you some advice on your passport stuff. And I also just gave you just a look into how I plan to approach just the way I market, the way I put myself out there going forward. And I hope you guys are here for it. And if you are, I'll see you on next episode. But for now, crush the week. Have a great rest of your day. And I love y'all. Peace. Thank you all so much for listening to the Live Limitless podcast. If you enjoyed this episode today, do us a favor and share with someone you think will benefit from it. And if you just want to show general support, you can do that by leaving us a 5-star rating if you believe it deserves it. Or you can leave us a review or any type of feedback in Apple Podcasts. We want to hear from you. Also, make sure to check out the show notes for more information, or to just see how you can keep up with me on social media. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. Go crush the week and live limitless.